I've got a lot of memories from here. I've been in camp meeting here when we were in this little tabernacle next door. Probably the first time I came here, the services were being held in that tabernacle. I remember having services at the White Pine Campground for several years. The last few years have been coming to services in here. I remember names and faces, people who were once part of the congregation. Some of them have moved on. Some of them have passed on. I spent some time yesterday, went over to the cemetery, and just to take a look at some of the markers of those who have been here. Stood there a little while reminiscing. I'm kind of a nostalgic person. I think of things from the past a lot. It's not that I want to live in the past, but I enjoy things from the past, and I appreciate history, and I appreciate people sharing things with me of their families that have meant things to them. And I remember being in services here with you, with Brother Mark and Sister Verna. They're both passed on. Brother Jim, he's passed on. Brother Golden and Sister Derry Arbogast, they've passed on. And there's something that of each one of them that stands in my mind. Thank you. It stands out in my mind. But for years, I have things ringing in my mind of Brother Golden Arbogast and his songs. One of them is, "There's not enough clouds in the sky to hide the sunshine or the sunlight in my soul." I hear that. And there are times when I wish I could hear it again from his voice. And I know, folks, there are times when we're in meetings like that to where maybe someone will stand up and sing a song and they don't have the best voice as far as singing goes. But it's not just the voice that we're listening to. It's the spirit that is inside and the rejoicing and the happiness that's there. And he sang another song that I don't know all the words to. It's just a few words, I think, of the chorus. And I know I won't do it any justice, but here's the part that I remember. Hallelujah, 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 amen. Praise the Lord forever, praise Him without end. Oh, Satan ain't seen nothing yet, for I have just begun. Praise the Lord forever, no, glory, hallelujah, praise the Lord, amen. I remember that. And that just rings in my ears, and I wish I could hear it again. And some of those songs were long. They had a lot of verses to them. But I remember hearing him sing those songs, and I thought, oh, this brother's got something down inside. There's something down in there that's just bubbling up. And the Lord addressed that in the Scriptures. He said, whoever would drink of this river of living water, it would be to him a river flowing up from within. And I think of that thing that just bubbles from within a person all the time, washing out impurities and things that are unlike God. And how if we have that, there will be a day, if we're true and we're faithful, that we'll be able to go on that other shore. And maybe I'll get to hear Brother Arbogast singing some of those songs of glory and praise around the throne of God. And I know there were others who were faithful here and labored in the work. I didn't know Brother Tom Carpenter. I've heard a lot of stories about him. I heard a lot of stories about the young folks who had come up here to this meeting. That's one of the things that drew me to want to come. They'd come up here and they'd spend nights in their home and all pile in the living room or wherever it was that they slept. They all were together. And how much they enjoyed it. Let's be faithful, folks. If we're faithful, one of these days we can go on the other side and join that group. Now, I desire your prayers as we look into some of the Scripture this evening. I'm thinking about having faith. We sing a song in the hymnal, number 284. I believe it's the virtue of faith. And there's one verse of this. It's the fourth verse. It says, the waves around may fiercely roll. They cannot harm my trusting soul. Regarding not what I may see, my faith, O Lord, ascends to Thee. The darkest night and brazen sky are pierced by faith's unfailing eye. My cry shall be till time shall cease, O blessed Lord, my faith increase. I've often asked the question of myself and others to ponder, how much faith is enough faith? Brother Steve Elston from down home, he's a minister that is working there with us in the congregation. He says, you know, I've thought about that too. He said, I've wondered how much faith is enough faith. And he said, I've kind of come to the conclusion, enough to get a response. Enough to get a response. Because if we respond, that means that we're accepting, we're embracing something, even though it's something we may not see. This song says, regarding not what I may see, my faith, O Lord, ascends to Thee. Folks, sometimes the pictures that are portrayed before us can look very bleak and very dark. Perhaps you've had a loved one that you've prayed for the salvation of their soul, and you don't see any indication of any fruit to be born. Nothing shows up. Regarding not what I may see, my faith, O Lord, ascends to Thee. Perhaps there's a loved one who is very ill, and you realize that the sickness that they're carrying, if the Lord doesn't move in and do something, it's a sickness unto death. Regarding not what I may see, my faith, O Lord, ascends to Thee. There have been many times I have heard that song, and I've listened to the words of that song, and I've been in that place to where a loved one who was very ill, critically ill, and everything that you could see looked like it was death, and I said, Lord, here's this song again. Someone called this song again. I'm going to raise my hand. Regarding not what I may see. Oh, folks, I'll tell you, sometimes the things that we see, if we focus on that, it's hard. It's hard to get our eyes off of those things and see beyond, because we're human beings. I don't live in a spirit realm. I can't see the actions. I see some of the evidences of them, but I don't see the Holy Spirit of God. I don't see the wicked spirit of the enemy. But those things are real and they work. But regarding not what I may see, O Lord, my faith ascends to You. Yes. Book of Hebrews, 11th chapter, is one that has a very valuable scripture in it to me. It's a chapter about faith, of course, all of these heroes of faith. But the 7th verse is one that stands out to me. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now, I know that salvation only comes through Jesus. To this man, Noah, there wasn't a Jesus yet. There wasn't a Savior. There wasn't a Christ. There wasn't a law system yet. There wasn't an established, really a godly established worship system yet. They offered sacrifice. There was some level, some measure of worship to God. But there wasn't a prescribed order of worship to God. But this man had faith. The scripture says that being moved with fear, he had faith, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Folks, I'll tell you, I've heard about heaven all of my life. I've heard folks testify about having a blessing from God out of heaven, but I've never been there. You haven't either. It takes faith. It takes faith to believe. That they're regarding not what I may see. The world around us, folks, would live a life and would give every indication that there is no afterlife. There is no penalty. There is no end. Just live your life the best way you want to do it, and everything's going to be wonderful. If we looked at the things around us, that's what we would see. Indications that there is no penalty to pay. There's no blessing afterward. Just get the most out of it that you can. That's what a lot of people do. But Noah, in his day, received a message from God that said, build an ark. What's an ark? If you're Noah, the Lord says, I want you to build an ark. What's an ark, Lord? I'm going to send a flood. What's a flood? Never seen a flood. I'm going to cause it to rain. What's rain? The scripture says that there was a mist that came up from the ground to water the earth. There were firmaments in the heavens. A firmament between the waters here and the waters there, that there was a separation between the two. I can't explain all of that. I believe it. In my mind's eye, I have some image about it. I think I looked out here a few of these mornings and I see the fog on the mountains around and fogs in the valleys. And I think how the water collects and drips down the stems of the grass to give it some moisture. And the ground receives that moisture. There was water under the ground, I believe, that watered things. But there was no indication. There wasn't any indication to Noah that there was a flood or ever going to be a flood. There wasn't anything to give him evidence of an impending flood. There weren't any appearances in nature. Nothing that indicated there would be or ever. It had been, what, more than a century had passed? A lot of times had passed. A lot of times had gone by and nothing that indicated that there was ever a flood of such or would be. There weren't any breakings up of the fountains of the deep. None of that took place. If you're outside and you hear the distant rumblings of thunder, you have an indication that there's a chance for rain. We know what rain is. We see the clouds and they start to gather. Maybe there's a little breeze that comes up out of the south or the west or wherever your moisture comes from. We start to see the thickening of the clouds and we say, yeah, it's getting kind of heavy and it's a little bit warm, a little bit humid, so we can pretty well expect we're going to have some rain moving in. No, it didn't have that. Didn't have the thunders, didn't have the lightnings, none of those kind of indications. The Word of God was the only evidence that Noah had that there was going to be a flood. God came to him and spoke to him and told him what to do, how to prepare for it. There was, I think it was about 1,600 years, there was no evidence of any such event. But now he says there's going to be a flood. Do you know, folks, since the time that Jesus left this world, from the time that he was crucified, put in the grave, resurrected and ascended, it's been several hundred years. And we have the accounts in the scripture that tell us that he's coming again. Tell me what proofs we have. The Lord spoke to Noah and said, there's going to be a flood. He'd never seen a flood. Never heard the pats of raindrops falling, lightning, thunder. There's going to be a flood, Noah. I'm looking around, Lord, and I can't comprehend a flood. We have been taught, we read the Word of God, and I believe the Word of God. But you know, folks, it takes faith for me to believe in an end time. It takes faith for me because there isn't any real evidence around us to tell me that the Lord's coming back. Show me what evidence there is. We have the Word of God, and I understand that's proof enough, but there's no physical evidence around us to indicate that the Lord is coming back. Faith. Regarding not what I may see, my faith, O Lord, ascends to Thee. I have to have faith in order to embrace everything that God has said He would do. The youth grew up to manhood. Manhood passed on to old age. There was no signs of the coming storm, no clouds gathering. It was not just a little bit of faith. It wasn't a feeble faith that could grasp that and believe in that and hold on to that for
What does the scripture say? It was 120 years in preparing of the ark. He had to have a deep faith and belief in God. And folks, you and I are going to have a deep faith and belief in God if we're going to be successful in navigating our lives through this world, so that when we come down to the end of our journey, I'll tell you, whether we see the end of this world or not, it's coming for every one of us. Now we see that, but they saw it in their day. Second Peter, the third chapter, and the fourth verse. Well, I'll begin with you in the second verse. That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where's the promise of His coming? Is that on the increase today, folks? Yes, it is. More and more religious organizations are embracing the philosophy that there is no hell. They're promoting that idea that there is no punishment. Do you know, folks, that it very likely, if time stands, that will start to become more and more prevalent? The philosophies, the religious philosophies that maybe 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, things that were kind of, oh, that's kind of far out. That's way off in left field. The thoughts and ideas of man's heart that was way off in left field, they have found their way into religious organizations and are being promoted as acceptable behaviors. Homosexuality is one of them. Being accepted. Accepted as a normal behavior. I believe the Word of God will instruct us that we ought to be very concerned and burdened for those who are in those places. That God will have mercy on their souls. Yes, I have an abhorrence of that type of practice. But God came for those too. Jesus sent a Savior for them. He sent a Savior so that all men could have life and have it more abundantly. Too many people are searching for things, they're looking for things, they're yearning for things, and they're trying to find it in their own selfish ways when the answer is in the Word of God. The answer is Jesus, salvation. That's the answer. But people come now and they're saying, where's the promise of His coming? Almost stand in defiance to the Lord and to His Word about the pronouncements concerning heaven and hell and the judgments that are to come. But folks, it's going to take a faith for you and me to believe. You say, well, I've heard this all my life. I just accept it. I appreciate that in a way. But there could be things to come along in your life that would be very trying and very shaking to cause you to really wonder and consider. We need to have a deep, settled faith, belief, and conviction in God, just as Noah did when there was no indication of the impending doom. The people that were in that day, when the time came that all those animals began marching up toward that ark, I've wondered in my mind, when there were people standing around looking at old Noah and had that ark built, and I'm sure there had to be some kind of a ramp or something for them to get up into that ark, and all of a sudden, here these animals start coming in two by two. They didn't herd those animals up, folks. The Scripture tells us the Lord caused that to be. And here they start coming in two by two. Birds flying in into the ark. And I'm standing around. This old man has been preaching about a flood for all these years. And this is your salvation. Come go with us in the ark. I do believe. I know there were only 8 souls that were in that ark. I do believe that if there had been others that wanted to get with Noah and his family in that ark, God would have made a way and made provision for them. Or He would have, if there had been several that said that we want to accept this, it would have been as it was with Nineveh. If they had repented from their sins, God would have stayed that. But the Scripture says the imagination of man's heart was only evil continually. And when it got down to brass tacks, there was only 8. Only 8. And people standing around watching. Here go these animals. Two by two. Wow. That's something different. And the scripture tells us that God shut the door. And I believe it says that they were in there for 7 days before everything started to change. And the scripture then says that the firmament collapsed. The fountains of the deep were broken up. And all of those who were on the outside, then they started seeing all of the proofs and the indications that would lend credibility and credence to what Noah had been preaching all of these years. He embraced faith. He went in that ark, God shut the door, and 7 days. You know, 7 days can seem like a long time when you're closed up in something like that. Wondering, is it going to happen? But when it did happen, when everything started coming into focus and the picture got clear, they were glad to be inside of that ark, and those who were on the outside realized the error of their way. I wonder how many times they banged on that side of that ark saying, "Let me in, help, let me in, we're going to die, we're going to drown." They didn't know what a flood was either. They had never seen rain. They had never heard the crashing of the thunders. They had never seen the fountains of the deep broken up. But it became a reality, folks. It's going to become a reality to us one of these days. The scripture tells us that all this world that we see around us is held in place by the Word of God. By His Word. You may have heard me tell this story. I had in our community, there's a firefighter that worked in the city of, New Orleans or one of the suburbs of New Orleans. But he was talking to me one day about fire and fighting fire. And he said, "Mike, I've seen fire so hot that the fire, it would break down the water before it hit and use it for fuel. Water is oxygen and hydrogen." He said, "I've seen it so hot that if you tried to smother it with water, it was too hot. It would break that water down and use that for fuel to burn hotter." Do you know, folks, that when the time comes for this world to come to an end and God withdraws all whatever that power is that's holding everything into place and this world starts to collapse under its own weight, what a noise that will be. The gainsayers, those who say, "Oh, there's no hell, oh, there's no afterlife, oh, there is no God," there are those that say that it's becoming more and more prevalent in our society today. And it's taking a measure of faith even greater, deeper, and more willing to embrace the things of God because the volume is being turned up of unbelief, discrediting. And we're seeing all this taking place around us, people who are falling prey to it. Where's the promise of His coming? "For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." I believe that. I believe that. But I haven't seen it yet. I believe it because I have faith in God, faith in the Word, faith in the power of God, and I embrace that with all of my understanding that I have. I embrace it and I want to make preparation for that time. I want to be prepared for the time when either my life comes to an end or this world comes to an end. Because one of those two is going to happen to me and you. Either your life will come to an end or this world will come to an end because we are all going to stand before the Lord. What we see in our day is the same thing that Noah and his generation saw. People are born. They live. They die, they get married, seed time, harvest, cold and heat, all things continue as they were, but one day, it'll all come to an end. Matthew 24. Beginning with verse 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth his leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. That's what the Lord said it's going to be like when He comes back. The messages go forth. The proclamations go forth. They went forth in Noah's day, building an ark. Noah, what is that thing? What is that thing? That's an ark. What is it for? The Lord said He's going to send a flood. Noah, what's a flood? I'm not sure what a flood is. But all I know is the Lord said for me to build that ark and to get in it. And one of these days, it would be the saving of my soul and my family. Folks, let's get on board. Regarding not what I may see all around me, there's change and decay and all around I see, but regarding not what I may see and what I may hear, the naysayers, the gainsayers, saying, where's a promise of His coming? Everything is just staying on as it was. It's been 2,000 years and nothing has ever changed. We just keep getting bigger. We learn more. We have more education. Look at our technology. Look at what we're able to do. We're able to do all of these things and we just pass off. But the Lord's coming back one of these days. Just as it was in the days of Noah. Jesus Himself said that that's the way it would be when He came back. We would have our eyes directed on other things. There'd be many people who wouldn't even be able to understand, wouldn't comprehend, wouldn't receive, wouldn't accept. And I'll tell you folks, for you and me to accept the Word of God, I believe it, it's the Word of God, I embrace it, it takes faith. Because I don't know how it's going to happen. What I see around me, yes, there's change and decay, but there's also many things that are stable. I walked down this little road yesterday beside the creek, and I saw something that I had didn't know could be so big. A wild cherry tree. Looked like that thing must be this big around. Down home, if I see a wild cherry this big, that's a big tree. Big wild cherry. I looked at that. That thing's been here a long, long time. A lot of things that we see around us look stable, and if we're not careful, we'll start to think in that frame of mind that this is secure. This is solid. I get in my vehicle, I close the door, I put the key in ignition, I turn the key, it cranks, I pull the lever down, and I take off down the road. Take it for granted. If we're not careful, folks, we'll take too much for granted. We'll take too much for granted, and we need to focus attention, as Noah did, on what the Word of God says and exercise faith and believe, yes, it's coming. I've got to be prepared. I started off by saying to you, I'm kind of nostalgic. And I appreciated so much the opportunity to go to that cemetery yesterday and find those old markers. And have those memories rolling through my mind. Have the songs of Brother Arbogast rolling through my mind. The times of Brother Jim White standing up in one of the services and having a few things to share with us, some thoughts to share with us. He was good about getting off the main highway and getting down on the side roads where life really is. I remember hearing those kinds of things and I thought about, you know, Lord, help me. I want to, if I can be a help like these were, an encouragement to someone else like these were, I want to be a part of that, Lord. I want not only that, I want to gain the prize that they gain. And I can't see them anymore. In my mind, I hear their voices. In my mind, I see their faces. But they've gone on. I want to join them. I want you to join them. I want us to join them together. I want to hear. I would love to hear Brother Golden Arbogast again singing hallelujah, 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 amen. Praise the Lord forever. Praise Him without end. Old Satan ain't seen nothing yet, for I have just begun. Glory, hallelujah, praise the Lord, amen. Because now, that song, while he was here, it was real to him, and it was real to us, and it was inspired, but now, oh, it's real. It's more real than it ever could have been while it was here. Praise the Lord, amen. Oh, Satan ain't seen nothing yet. For I have just begun. Glory, hallelujah, praise the Lord, amen. You pray for me. I haven't made it yet. Let's pray for each other. We've got some road to travel. And folks, above all, don't forget to pray for yourself. We've got to pray for ourselves. Lord, increase our faith. Amen.